Morning, everybody. How we doing? Good. What we're going to do today is really spend time getting to know the Vikings. That's the emphasis today is getting to know the Vikings. And usually, you'd have to do that phase of it on a typical Wednesday, in addition to all the game plan specific things that you have, as well as the core things that you run each week offensively and defensively. What I'm looking to do today, brought a friend to the press conference. Distract you guys. What I'm doing today, or what we're going to do today, is really understand the opponent, understand how our base things play against their base things, and take care of that part of the process. And then we'll move into more specific things to Minnesota that may be different than our core packages on Wednesday. And working today will allow us to spend some more time on that on Wednesday, and even maybe be able to address some of the other areas like third down a little bit earlier than normal. I think today is a good opportunity, too, for the guys that didn't play in the last preseason game to get back into a rhythm. We have to also go through the mechanics of working with a reduced roster, which is different. There's mechanics of a scouting report, you know, in season versus preseason, and all the things that go along with it. So today is that type of day, that those emphasis points. In terms of the quarterbacks, I'll just say that I will be talking to those guys. I have made a decision, and I'll clearly explain what the decision was based on, why I made the decision that I did, and what my expectations are. And my expectations will be clearly that they support each other at all times. They support the team at all times, and they both prepare as if they were the number one quarterback. And in terms of announcing it publicly, that's not something that I plan to do. It'll be internal, and I understand the everybody has a different opinion on it. I respect that. I understand the excitement in relationship to that, and I respect that as well. But that will be something that'll be internal. Being on the other side of this as a defensive coordinator, it is more difficult to plan for two than it is to plan for one, to prep for two than it is to prep for one. And I'm not saying that that's going to be the difference, or not the difference, but I know that there's time allotted to that, and you can't put the same amount of time into focusing on one player. So with that, I will open up to questions.
Not giving away what the defensive coordinator of the Vikings is thinking, but how different are these two quarterbacks that it makes it difficult?
Well, just as you prep as a coordinator, you want to go through all the different contingencies, and you want to look at all the different strengths and weaknesses, or your perceived strengths, your perceived, however each guy evaluates it. And to do that, you need to spend time studying each guy, and it's easier to study one than it is to study two.
Eric, I was wondering, don't you sort of prepare for two anyway, though, even if you know the starter in case somebody gets hurt or pulled?
You like to, and you go through as much of the second guy as you can, but the core emphasis is primarily on the first guy, because you only have a certain amount of time to get ready. As a defense, you only have a certain amount of time that you can do on each thing. And I know that Jeff asked, what do we do here so late all the time? And you're trying to give the players as much meaningful information as you possibly can, and give it in a way that it's not so overwhelming they can actually retain it going into the game. So it's a function of looking at a lot of information, boiling it down to really what are the important things, making sure that they know what's important, making sure that they know what's important, and trying to move forward and work through the adjustments and things like that after you get past that first phase.
Clarify. The secret will get out. I mean, somebody's going to tell an agent, and somebody's going to tell a player or a girlfriend, and
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I know how we're going to approach it, and I know that the team should be focused on on Minnesota and should be focused on doing everything that we can do to maintain any competitive advantages.
Clarify, when will you publicly announce this? I mean, you said you won't. I mean, will it be Sunday as the, you know, whatever time you have to do it?
You know, I haven't looked that far ahead into the weekend. It won't be throughout the course of this week.
You haven't told the guys, the quarterbacks?
I have not talked to the quarterbacks. I will talk to the quarterbacks. And today, really, what I'm looking for, it's, like I said, is a foundation. The one thing that I feel very good about is that throughout this process, I think both guys have improved and both guys have really prepared at a high level, and it's helped us in terms of working with both guys. As Terry said, you know, sometimes you're going to be forced to change course in terms of an injury or something like that, and I'm comfortable with the things that they've done, and I think it's helped us and helped them.
How difficult was the final decision?
Well, went through the process, talked to the coaches, talked to George, looked at it, looked at all the information myself, and after looking at it, made the decision. But it was thorough and detailed, and looked at the whole body of the work from camp through OTAs, through mini camp, all those different things, the progress each guy made, and it was extensive.
Was it clear, as you said it would be a couple weeks ago, came up?
Well, the one thing that I was talking about and I feel strongly about is the improvement that both guys made, which I'm happy with. And I think in different guys progressed in different areas, but overall, in looking at it as a body of work, I was pleased with the progress both guys made.
Eric, when you're facing a team like
Minnesota that's so good defensively, and I guess they're really good against the run, how do you kind of deal with that as a coach and also maybe with your running backs?
I think you're going to try to get everybody involved, and really that's something that we'll do each week is try to get everybody involved. And I talked to the team this morning about the importance of knowing your role going into each game and embracing that role. And sometimes the role is bigger, sometimes the role is smaller, but you can't lose track of the sight that or the fact that every single person's role is important to success. And that was a point that I brought up with those guys, and I also talked about the experiences I've had with winning teams over time, and the focus has always been on the same thing. It's been tunnel vision in terms of not looking at the last week, not looking at the next week, and really not looking forward to the next day, not looking into the future even that amount, because what you have to do, and I've experienced this in multiple places with multiple coaches, as a head coach myself, as in all different positions, when you have that tunnel vision, when you really work on that opponent and are in that moment, that gives you the best chance to be successful. And I've always respected Bill Belichick for his ability to do that with the group. I think he has an amazing ability to focus the group on the task at hand. And when you have that emphasis and you're able to do it successfully, it produces results. The other thing we talked about was it's not about statistics. It's not about who gets credit. It's not about who gets blame. It's not about any of those things. Those things don't translate into what's important, which is winning. And it's all about winning the game and however we can do that. And all these things that I'm discussing, it's not an easy thing to do, or everybody would do it really well. So, but it's an important thing to do, and it's an important thing to learn how to do. And it's something, like I said, that isn't from reading some head coaching manual or anything like that. It's living it. It's seeing it. It's experiencing it. It's being part of the results that it produces.
How do you feel about the running game?
I think there's been some times we've done some things that I've really liked, and there's some other times where it hasn't been where we need it to be. And I go back to the whole concept because I know pass rush is often talked about in here, and it's coordinated. It's the back really pushing, pressing the hole, getting to where he needs to get to set up the offensive lineman's blocks. It's the offensive line knowing what their relationship is to each other and to the defensive lineman and taking care of those things. It's the quarterback getting to the right mesh point so the timing is correct. It's the receivers downfield handling the perimeter run support. And if any of those things break down, it's hard to be a successful running team. And on the flip side, defensively, when we talk about pass rush, a lot of times it's not just about one guy beating one guy. It's coordinated. It's coordinated across the board. It's the coverage being sound enough to let the line get there. It's the line being in the right spots in terms of their rush lanes to make sure the quarterback doesn't scramble or buy extra time. If you're pressuring, is everybody hitting the right gaps? Are they making the adjustments based on the protection? And with that coordination, playing good team defense, team offense, special teams, that's where the numbers come from, not one guy doing one thing, and you know, it doesn't usually work that way.
The preseason with Derek and Brady, do you feel the same way that you did earlier on, that you'll go through the season with both of them on the roster?
Yes. And I just reiterate that I've been happy with the progress that both guys have made. I've been happy with the way that they've worked. I'm happy with the way that they've approached this competition. And it's not always easy to approach a competition in a team fashion, and I respect the way that they've handled it.
Obviously, it'll be difficult times for whoever it is. Will you be committed to this guy for 16 games, barring injury?
I never go into a situation thinking, okay, how am I going to change the situation? I go into the situation thinking, you know, what's the best way to be successful? So that's not really on my radar screen.
Can you tell these guys together, Eric,
like
before?
And when will
I? I'll talk to them probably independently, and in terms of exactly when that'll be, it'll be in the near future.
You assume, Eric, that Childress knows that Sean Rogers is going to play, or is that something that would go to the keep a secret as long as he can issue?
You know, with any guys that are on the injury report, you know, we're always hoping that they're always going to play. And I can say the one thing, when this is not just with Sean, but anytime a guy is on the injury report, he's injured. And we haven't produced one of those yet, so we'll see where we are when we have to do that. But you don't know how it's always going to go. And to say one guy is definitely going to be there or not going to be there, it changes during the course of the week, and that's the reality of it.
How would you characterize what Rogers means to your team, given his stature as a player?
Well, he's an outstanding player. He's got very good strength against the run. He's got very good awareness of blocking schemes. He's got a high motor when he plays, and that's sometimes tough to do when you're a bigger guy, to go play in and play out at a high level. You're carrying a little bit more luggage than some of the little guys. And I think he's also a very effective pass rusher. So he's got a lot of great traits.
Hey, Eric, switching gears a little bit here, how much more prepared do you feel you are
for the opener this year than your first game as a head coach when you were the Jets?
Well, it is different in the sense that I'd gone through a lot of the experiences prior to this experience. The one thing that is unique about the first game of the season is you don't have a lot of real tape to base it on, and you don't have a lot of there's things that are being held on both sides. There's you may think it's going to be one thing and it could be something totally different, so you have to plan for a few more contingencies, and sometimes you hit it right and sometimes you hit it not so right, and you have to adjust more on the sideline. And then sometimes you have and this is true in any game, you have a great plan, you feel really good about it, you go in, and not quite as good as you think it is. So at that point, you got to be able to, as a staff, and you get feedback from the players as well, look at it and say, okay, this is what we anticipated, this is what's happening, this is what we're going to do the next series, this is what we're going to do the next drive. And the quicker you can adjust to those things, the better off you are.
But I guess what I mean is,
were you really, really nervous that first game, regular season game with the Jets, and do you anticipate maybe being less so since you've been through it?
Yeah, I remember it was against Tennessee, down at Tennessee, and they were a good team, and you've planned, you've worked, you've done what you think is the best you can do to get the team prepared. The tempo changes so much from preseason to regular season, which is something that you try to convey to rookies, but you got to experience it. It's a totally different world. And things worked out that first game. So I guess it was an okay plan at that point.
Does Brett Favre factor add to the drama, the excitement for you at all, or is it already so high?
He's a really good player, and I've witnessed it as an opponent, and I've witnessed it as a head coach, and getting to know Brett the way that I did, great competitor. He adds another element of difficulty to stopping their offense, which is already potent.
How good this team can be?
I think it can be as good as we decide to be, and I'm not trying to talk around the answer, but I really do believe that each day we choose, and if we make a lot of good choices every day, and it's collective choices, they stack on top of each other. If we do that, then we can continue to improve and always put ourselves in the best position to succeed. But if you don't make those good choices and you leave some things to chance, or you don't work quite as hard one day as you did the other day, then it's just you're hoping it works out. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. But at that point, you're leaving things to fate.
Do you ever talk to the players about playoffs as a goal? I mean, is that something that you specifically talk to them about?
No, what I believe in is as I mentioned in the opening, is the goal is the next game. The goal is the next opponent. And if you just work on that, the playoffs, they take care of themselves. All those things take care of themselves. And I've been part of plenty of times where you get caught up in things that are going on outside, or you start worrying about the wrong things, and you stop worrying about what's most important. And before you know it, you're looking back on, what did I do? Why are we here? Well, it's an easy answer. Because we didn't practice on there when we were there. Now, what are we going to do now that we're here? We're going to worry about there? And, you know, you sit around and you own that. I mean, you own it.
With the roster's adjustments you made, there's a 43% turnover on this team. What does that say about how different this team is?
I don't know what the league average is. I think there's quite a bit of turnover every year, in teams. I know, you know, looking back at the 3 years in New York, pretty similar turnover every year in terms of number of guys. But being back in New England, I remember there was a lot of turnover there. Being with the Jets when I was with Bill, there was turnover there. And again, I don't know what the league average is and how different we are than somebody else, just from looking at the, you know, the history, the numbers. It's pretty comparable over the last
year to year when you turn over almost half the team.
Well, that's always a challenge, and I think it becomes more and more of a reality each year with free agency and with the way things are. The landscape, I think, over the years has changed. So yeah, change is now part of the landscape.
What are you doing about captains?
Oh, we're going to vote on that on Wednesday. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And will they be season-long captains as opposed to
yes.
game captains?
Yep. And the players will vote on it, and whatever they, it's not, you know, it's not a one of those votes with an asterisk. I mean, it's legit.
Do you have a set number?
Well, it depends on where the where it comes out. Traditionally, it's been 6, 2-0, 2-D, 2 special teams. But just, you know, sometimes if you have an overwhelming number for a guy on defense and special teams, you know, and then the next closest vote getter really isn't in the same range. Maybe it's 5, but.
Leadership question, the question tied to that would be, you know, what kind of leadership do you judge you have within the player body?
Well, the one of the things that I really think is everybody has a capacity to lead, and I've talked about this even with rookies when we've met. So, you don't have to be the flag carrier. You don't have to be out in front. You don't have to give any team speeches. Just lead in your way. Maybe it's in the weight room. Maybe you're the leader in the weight room. Maybe it's an individual period. Maybe it's in the classroom. But everybody has the capacity to lead, and they should lead in the way that's most comfortable for their personality. And they shouldn't be afraid of doing that. And over the years, drafted a lot of guys that were captains out of college, and they get into pro football, and it's almost like they don't want to be who they are. And it's important for everybody to be who they are and for everybody to take the initiative to get us better. And in any context, it's not one defined way that I expect leadership to come.
There are more guys.
How do you feel about your safeties? Basically, I got 3 names. Like, you got Elam Adams and Poole, right? Basically, or right?
Nick Sorensen.
Okay.
Yep, Nick's here.
And with Poole having some history, some concussions, and all, do you have enough guys? And how do you feel about that?
You know, I've carried 4, carried 5, done it both ways. There's other guys that have worked at safety. You know, Hank has worked at safety in the past. Mike Furry's worked at safety in the past. That wouldn't be a plan that I would go into necessarily. You'd like to think that with 4 guys for the 2 spots, you'd have enough depth through the game, but you know, sometimes it switches out, so you got to be able to adjust and plan for the contingencies.
How do you feel they've played?
I think they've done a good job. I was familiar with Abe. Gotten to know Brodney and Mike and Nick a lot better. And the important thing for the safeties is to get those communications across the board. And sometimes what you got to remind them is you have to give the signal, but you also have to confirm the signal. And there's so much going on with shifts and motions where there's a lot of communication, you can lose track of one of those steps. But they do, they're working at it, and it's really important because they really get they coordinate with the linebackers. Okay, what's the adjustment we're going to make? And then it has to be spread out. The linebackers have to spread it out to the front 7. The safeties have to make sure that both cornerbacks know. And that becomes even more critical in like a 2-minute or hurry-up situation where the backside corner, you're not huddling, the backside corner is away from your bench. He can't see the signal, doesn't know it, and
there's like one safety, like
Elam do that or something? Because you basically, you kind of have like one linebacker and one safety kind of.
Well, you tend to give a couple guys the ability to make the core checks, but what you want to do is the group to pass it along. So there's nothing wrong with a cornerback seeing that you're going from two to three and hand signaling that, because you know it alerts everybody that he knows, and it may also alert the star that that's what it is. So yeah, there are a couple guys that are responsible for the main checks, but my expectation is that everybody is now echoing it so that we get it across the board.
Okay.